They placed him in a borrowed tomb, an ending of the day. They watched as Joseph rolled the stone, then they sadly walked away. But suddenly within their broken hearts echoed the words they'd heard him say, "Don't weep for me, I'll live again on resurrection morn." Resurrection morn. Side of them, still they did not believe. He sat with them and broke the bread, then their eyes were made to see. And as they watched him taken from their sight, behold, two men robed in white said, like he ascends, he'll come again on resurrection morn. Resurrection morn, he arose to set the captive free. Resurrection morn, Jesus won the victory. At breaking of the dawn, they went running to the tomb, for he was gone. Mary cried and said, "My Savior lives on resurrection morn." Mary cried and said, "My Savior lives on resurrection morn." Resurrection
welcome to the 215 Workman's Podcast. My name is Brother Robert Reynolds. I'm from Good Fight Baptist Ministries in Lipa City, Batangas, Philippines. This is the podcast of myself and Brother Landon Dunn, and I appreciate y'all being with us today to hear the message that Brother Landon has for you today. And we pray that it's a blessing to you and a help to you. Pray that it helps you learn to rightly divide the word of truth and to learn the King James Bible. Amen. Okay, so what we're going to do today is I'm going to take a break from the series that I've been on the last couple weeks. And Brother Landon is going to preach a little bit on the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Okay, the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And pray it's a blessing to you. All right, here is Brother Landon.
Okay, we're going to look at a thought right here on the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. The blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Okay, and if you go ahead and open up your Bibles over to the book of Matthew, we're going to look in chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 22 down to 32. Okay, if you're already there, right here the Bible reads, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." And verse 32, "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Now it's being said today that if a person blasphemes the Holy Ghost, that they can never be saved. But, you know, I remember as a child being in the Pentecostal church, you know, back then I remember that, you know, that I was told to be careful, otherwise I would blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Now why would you say something like that to a young child? Well, also, I've been told, you know, that even in Baptist churches, that if a sinner keeps rejecting the Holy Spirit's drawing, then he has blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Now, why are people today saying these ridiculous things? Well, I believe it's because of a failure, you know, to rightly divide the Scriptures.
Yes.
And also, you know, I believe that some, you know, some of those that teach this may not even be saved. But let's notice some things here from the Scriptures. Okay, we're going to look number one. This was still during Jesus' earthly ministry. Because if you look, notice back in verses 22 through 25, it says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now with Jesus right here healing the one possessed with the devil, it was still during the time of him walking around physically on this earth.
Yes, amen.
Now you'd probably say, well, what does this have to do with anything? Well, if you look over to Matthew 15:24, notice right here, this is out of the words of Jesus. Right here he says, But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus' ministry was a ministry that while he was walking around was still to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. With him here in his ministry, we see him doing something that was only for Israel. We see him right here back in verse 22 in our text. We see him casting out a devil. Look at verse 22. It says, Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. What is this? You know, this is a sign. In 1 Corinthians 1:22, it says, For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Jesus is doing signs. He's casting out devils. He's giving sight to the blind, and he's healing the dumb. This is a sign to the Jews. You know, throughout our context, Jesus, he's speaking to the Jews. And notice secondly right here, you know, we see that his ministry, it was still during the Old Testament.
Yes.
Look with me in verses 23 down to verses 28 right here in our text. Notice it says, And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. When Jesus came to the earth, you know, to be born of a virgin, we notice right here still during this time, Israel was under, you know, they were still under the law of Moses. Notice over in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 with me really quickly. Okay. Galatians 4 and verse 4. Right here it says, But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now, with Jesus preaching in the synagogues and doing signs and wonders, it was still under the law. Do you remember what Jesus said about the law? Well, Matthew 5:17, notice what Jesus says. He says, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
Amen.
When did he fulfill the law? Well, when he offered up the sacrifice of himself, you know, the one sacrifice for sins once and for all. Until then, we see Jesus telling the rich young ruler in Matthew 19:17, you know, whenever he asked him, he said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" You remember what Jesus told him? He said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God." But then he says, "But if thou wilt enter into life," notice what he says, "keep the commandments." Well, look over in the book of Hebrews with me. Hebrews chapter 9. And notice verses 15 through 17. It says, "And for this cause, he is the mediator, Jesus Christ. He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth."
Amen, brother.
Now in our text, you know, Jesus was preaching and casting out devils. This was still under the Old Testament law of Moses. Because according to what we see right here in the book of Hebrews, you know, Jesus Christ, he hasn't died on the cross yet. Because with his blood, according to the book of Hebrews, that's what starts the New Testament. So until that time comes, until Jesus sheds his blood on the cross, we're still under the Old Testament. We're still under that first testament, the law of Moses, which God gave to Moses up on Mount Sinai. And notice number 3. Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. With the gospel of the kingdom, if you notice, this is straight off the words of Jesus himself. In Matthew chapter 9, if you flip back just a few more books or a few more chapters, in Matthew chapter 9, notice what it says right here that Jesus did. Whenever he was going out in his ministry. Notice right here in verse 35. And this is like a little small reference back, you know, still dealing with Jesus casting out the devils. Notice right here in verse 35. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Now with Jesus doing signs and wonders, we see him preaching the physical kingdom, you know, the millennial kingdom message. You know, and this is where the nation of Israel is to receive him as their king.
That's right.
But you know, the kingdom message preached by John the Baptist, you know, in Matthew chapter 3, you know, if you remember in that account right there of John the Baptist, you know, when he was preparing the way of the Lord, you know, this was for Israel to be baptized in water, confessing their sins. And that's not all. If you remember with John the Baptist, whenever he was telling them to confess their sins, you know, when he baptized them in water, if you notice on down in the context in Matthew chapter 3, he also told them to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. And this was for the purpose that the king was coming.
Yes.
You know, Jesus was doing signs so that Israel would believe that he was their king. In John 4:48, it says, "Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." Now, this was a message that was only to the Jews. Notice again in Matthew 15:24. It says, "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." With Jesus being sent, his ministry was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And with him preaching to them, you know, there was things that he said and things that he did that do not apply to the church today. But you probably say, well, what do you mean? Well, notice again back in our text. Look in verses 31 and 32. It says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." And notice verse 32. "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Right here, Jesus says that all sins will be forgiven. But then there's that but. You know, but if you speak against the Holy Ghost, then according out of the words out of the mouth of Jesus, according to his words here, your sins won't be forgiven. Now, what do you do with that? Well, right away, you know, the Pentecostals picked that up. They take this as literal doctrine that is to be applied for them today. But let's notice some verses. Now, do you remember how that the scriptures show that Jesus was born under the law? And during his ministry, it was still during the law? Well, with what we read in our text, let's notice in Hebrews 9:22. Okay, in Hebrews 9:22 it says, "And almost," and look at this very closely, "and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." Did you notice that? It said, "almost all things." Well, under the law, there was sins that if you did, then you wouldn't get forgiveness. You know, and if you know your Old Testament, you know, it would say, you know, "that so shall be cut off from among his people." Or, you know, in other places, "and the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die." You know, everywhere in the Old Testament it mentioned there's different parts of being cut off from the people. But if you notice in particular, when it says "that so shall be cut off from among his people," that means that the person was put to death because his soul was cut off.
Right, brother.
So the
right.
person is killed and opens his eyes in hell because he didn't get forgiveness. Is this the same for today? You know, is what Jesus said in our text, is that for today? Let's notice something over in the book of Acts in chapter 13. In Acts 13, look at verses 38 and 39. It says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." And notice verse 39. "And by him all that believe are justified," and look at this, "from all things from which ye could not be justified," and look right here again, "by the law of Moses." You know, under Hebrews 9:22, it said, under the law, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. But now we see that all that believe are justified from all things.
Praise God.
Notice a quick, short little cross-reference over in the book of Colossians chapter 2. Okay, it says, and you, being dead in your sins, and the circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. And look right here, having forgiven you, did it say almost all things? No, it says, having forgiven you all trespasses. In verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. No, right now, forgiveness is no longer limited. But you'd ask, what does this mean? Well, it means that, you know, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It means that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Yes, amen.
But you'd ask, well, why then did Jesus say that the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven? Well, if we look over in the book of Mark, this is a direct cross-reference with our text. If we look over in the book of Mark, in chapter 3, notice verses 22 down to verses 30. It says, and the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily, I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Notice verse 30. Because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. Now, right here with the Jews still under the Old Testament law, you know, they blasphemed the Holy Ghost by saying that Jesus Christ had an unclean spirit. You know, they accused him of casting out devils by Beelzebub, you know, Satan himself. You know, or in other words, you know, the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead, you know, they said was Satan inside Jesus doing these miracles. Notice again very carefully in verse 30. It says, because they said, he, speaking about Jesus, and they said, he hath an unclean spirit. This is something that they said to Jesus, you know, to Jesus Christ himself. With Jesus Christ still here in his earthly ministry, walking around physically, they said that to him directly, you know, face to face. Can this be done today? Can a person blaspheme the Holy Ghost? Is it even possible? Well, if a person is honest, then he couldn't help but admit that it cannot be done today, because number one, Jesus isn't here in person walking around today. Jesus isn't here, he's not here physically. Amen? And number two, he's seated at the right hand of God right now making the intercession for us. And if you notice number three, because of the blood of Jesus, he cleanses us from all sin. And number four, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit the moment that we believe the gospel. So if it was possible for a person to blaspheme the Holy Ghost, then we would see a contradiction, you know, right here in the scriptures. But we don't see a contradiction, because if you clearly look with scripture and how the scriptures are laid out dispensationally, whenever Jesus was doing these signs and miracles, he was still in the Old Testament law. He was still under the law of Moses. He was going through the lost sheep of the house of Israel, right there, according to what Jesus Christ himself said, you know, according to his ministry. Back in Matthew 15:24, where he said, "But I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Until Amen. Jesus died on the cross, he was still under the Old Testament, going forth, you know, walking around physically in his ministry to the Jews. The doctrine that he was given, it was to the Jews. You know, because he was doing signs. He was casting out devils. He was healing the blind. All of these were signs so that Israel would believe. So according to the context, you know, if the Jews, or it was the scribes, you know, they blasphemed the Holy Ghost because they said that Jesus Christ, to his face, they said, "You have a devil inside you. The works that you're doing this by Satan himself. You're casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of the devils."
Yes.
During that time, it was only being spoken to Israel, because there wasn't even a Gentile that was being saved yet. Because if you move on over in the scriptures, we don't see a Gentile being saved until after the day of Pentecost, afterward. Because when you go come on down in Acts, you see Peter going forth to Cornelius, you know, and that's where we see the first Gentile being saved. Not a half Samaritan, half Gentile. We're talking about an actual full Gentile being saved. This was still doctrine that was to Jews. So can a person today blaspheme the Holy Ghost? No. A person today cannot blaspheme the Holy Ghost. As long as a person still has breath, then that person can be saved today. You know, by the blood of Jesus, Amen. Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. You know, it's to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, according to the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. There is no blasphemy of the Holy Ghost today. Any indication or anybody saying that there's a blasphemy of the Holy Ghost today, they're wrongly dividing the scriptures. They don't know what they're talking about.
That's right.
There's a clear, distinct difference in who Jesus is speaking to. According to the context, Jesus is speaking to the scribes. He's speaking to Jews, not to Gentiles. Amen?
Amen. Thank you so very much, Brother Landon, for that message on blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And this was, as Brother Landon said, during Christ's earthly ministry. Okay? And Christ is not here today. He's not walking the earth today. All right, he's seated at the right hand of God, and he's making intercession for us. All right, and when he was here on this earth, you know, he was preaching the kingdom gospel, you know, and that kingdom gospel was with signs, right? What that kingdom is a literal, physical, Davidic kingdom that Christ will set up at his second coming, his second advent. Not the rapture, but the second advent. Okay, when he comes to earth physically, he sets up this kingdom and he rules from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, sitting on the throne of David. Okay, so the gospel that Christ preached, the gospel that we preach today, the gospel of the grace of God, the death, burial, and resurrection, okay, they're different. Okay, and so, you know, as Brother Landon said, the blaspheming of the Holy Ghost, it cannot happen today. All right, because, you know, as he said, Jesus is not here physically, number one. Number two, he's seated at the right hand of God. And number three, he cleanses us from all sin, past, present, and future sin, not just past sins. They're all forgiven, all under the blood of Jesus Christ. All right, once we put our faith and trust in him and his shed blood, his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, and we are sealed unto the day of redemption at the moment of salvation. Amen. All right, so that is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And myself and Brother Landon, we pray that this message was a help to you. And we pray that helps you to rightly divide the word of truth. We pray it's a blessing to you. Amen. But before we go, let's go ahead and play a song for you. And this is an instrumental by Brother Ben Rochester, and it's entitled "I'll Fly Away." Very familiar hymn. Amen. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. You know, one day, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to come into those clouds. And He is going to call the church, the body of Christ, home by name. And we will have a plain air ride out of here that no 747 could ever give us. Amen. Praise God. One day I'll fly away. Amen. You know, a few years ago, I had a CD with Johnny the Baptist, you know, preaching, and he was talking about I'll Fly Away and eating chicken, and I'm just going to paraphrase, but he said that he's eaten chicken hot, chicken cold, chicken tender, chicken tough. And he said he ate so much chicken, he believes that the Baptist theme song should be I'll Fly Away. Amen. Praise God. One day we're going to fly away if you are saved. And how is a person saved today? Acts 16:31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now that does not mean that if you get saved, that your whole house will be saved. What that means is that your house, your whole house will be saved the same way that you are. By the grace of God, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, putting your faith and trust in Christ and His precious shed blood, His death, burial, and resurrection, found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4. Amen. Praise God for what Jesus Christ did on that cross. He took our place. Amen. It should be us on that cross. But He took God's wrath for us. And He became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. If you are not saved, I urge you right now, don't wait another second. Put your faith and trust in Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection for your salvation right now. Because your next breath is no guarantee. If you die without Christ, you will wake up in hell with no opportunity ever again to change your mind about Christ. And then you'll be judged at the great white throne judgment. And then after that, thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Amen. Please don't go to hell. All right. That is Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Thank you so very much for being with us today. Thank you for your prayers for us and our families, for our ministries. Please continue to pray for this podcast, that the Lord will continue to use it mightily for His glory, to reach the lost with the gospel, and to edify the saints. Amen. Pray that this podcast will never, ever, ever be about myself or Brother Landon. But this podcast will be about bringing the Lord Jesus Christ glory and praise and honor to Him only. Amen. All right. Thank you so very much. Until next time, God bless you.